I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Does anybody have any ideas about what to start talking about today? Anybody have anything going on?
I think I've got a good one.
Oh, Jake! Oh,
Jake,
yeah,
this is exciting.
So you kind of you actually wingmanned me a little bit without knowing.
I did?
Yeah, you actually you met a girl over in New York, and
who said she knew you?
Yeah.
Where did I meet her? Was that Dr. Oz? Where was that?
It was over in the Sirius XM building.
That's right. Yeah. Dark hair. Okay.
Tall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was doing press for Slim for Life. I was doing a little radio tour in the Sirius building, and this chick came up to me and said she knew you. Oh, she knew you, like, knew you.
No, but she... Not yet.
Oh.
Not as of then.
No.
Okay.
So, anyways, she came out to Los Angeles. And we hung out, and she stayed with me and everything, and it was great.
She stayed with you. Wow.
That was quick. You mean at your house?
Yes. We've known each other for months, though. And because So you had mentioned to her to ask about my manscaping.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, Jake, for all of you guys listening, Jake had some manscaping questions and concerns. We actually have created a segment, but we're still not sure whether or not we want to air it for you.
Yeah, it's pretty manscaping.
It's pretty intense.
It's serious.
Yeah, but I remember telling this girl when she said she knew you to talk to you and make sure that your manscaping was on track.
Oh, no.
Poor Jane. Oh, God. No, it's all coming back to me. Well, what do you want from me?
Well,
I need a little enjoyment out of this life.
Oh, my God, woman.
Okay.
But I mean, it was nice. And then, you know, she said, oh, and then Jillian said you're like her little brother. And then that made me blush and smile.
Oh, cute.
And things happen.
My little brother's a mess, just so we all know. So when I say, like, my little brother.
Awesome.
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But to bring it back around, things happened, and then the next day, midday, my abs were extremely sore.
What things happened?
We had sex. And so my abs were sore because I hadn't used those muscles in that way in a while,
How long?
About 6 weeks.
Oh, my sweet Lord. That's a long time.
That is quite a long time. When you're 21, that seems like years.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
Get
God.
Get married.
That's my cheeks are
That'll be
smiling.
A blink of an eye. Yeah.
So that seemed like forever.
Oh, yeah. God. My heart bleeds for you, Jake.
But,
okay. Yeah.
But also... I wanted to, you know, I wanted
Janice
to.
Janice is in the backyard with the fifth of Jack standing over the sprinklers. And 6 weeks is eternity.
But, so I had sat down and I thought, wow, my abs are really sore, you know? And this is something that I find that me, personally, I'm afraid of the initial workout when I haven't worked out for a while. I'm afraid of that initial workout because I don't want that next day soreness. But I had unintentionally got it, and it encouraged me to just keep going. So now I've been working out and I haven't got that same
like
soreness.
It's more than just that encouraged you to keep going.
But I've been working out my abs a little more since then, and it's been about a week, and they already feel really tight.
Whoa.
And
they look tight under your shirt. I have x-ray vision.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, you know, if you're doing yard work or you're doing something and then all of a sudden you're sore the next day, maybe it's good encouragement to start
yard
your workout.
Yard work or sex.
Yard
work or sex. Let me balance.
Okay, so what I think what Jake is saying here is that, you may find your motivation indirectly throughout just by going sort of through the course of your life. Let's also say I have always said that sex – for average effort, can burn up to 300 calories an hour. I don't know who's going for an hour, but if you are going for an hour, good for you.
Oh, this was
clearly
a good, like,
Jake
600 to 700 calories an hour.
Whoa.
Wow.
Oh, God. What are you, a rabbit?
God.
How many hours?
We had to actually stop the first time. It went for about an hour and 20 minutes or something, and it was just, like, too much.
Too much friction.
It was too much friction.
You're not using a water-based lubricant, are you?
Don't say that word on the radio.
Friction. Or lubricant.
Hello.
There's a natural brand of lubricant. I actually think it's called Yes. I know about this because of the doctors. I'm serious. Google this, will you? Yes. I had to talk about sex all the time on that show because it made me miserable. But I learned so much. Check out Yes Lubricant. Does it exist? Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's organic because those water-based lubricants can actually cause yeast infections in women because there's sugar in them and they dry up and get sticky, which is disgusting. But those oil-based, it's like petroleum, which is really bad for you. So if you get that Yes brand, I think it's like coconut oil and natural stuff.
It's yesyesyes.org.
There you go. yesyesyes.org. So I'm very takeaway based. So sex, average effort, 300 calories an hour. More effort, more calories. Natural-based lubricant will help your endurance and keep away chafing and soreness from friction. And what Jake is really saying here is you got to find your motivation in your everyday sort of life to keep it going.
And grab onto it when you see it. Don't let it pass. And I
grab
onto this
grab
one.
Onto it. Did you have to put it on?
Squeeze it as tight as you can and just make sure you don't let it go.
I'm tired.
We're making Janice blush over
here.
I'm not blushing.
Do you have anything you want to add?
No.
I tried to create some takeaway there.
I have absolutely nothing to add in this segment. I haven't for probably, I'm too embarrassed to say how long it's been since I haven't been able to add to this conversation. Okay?
6 weeks?
Yeah. Let's just say that. 6 weeks.
We need to do a dating challenge on the love. We can technically call this a love doctor segment because let's look at what this has created. It's created like Jake's more confident, Jake's happier, Jake is more fit, huh? This is transcendent. So having sex, good thing for your body, good thing for your state of mind, good thing for your health, really big immunity booster. And it's a great motivator.
Well, and human touch is very important.
Janice, we got to do like a dating segment for you.
Why Why would you? Why?
Here we go. So tell me your type. Why? Because it's been well over 6 weeks. That's why. Do we,
that's
why?
Where we draw the line.
Have
6 weeks.
Have you six weeks? She's like 6 years into this mess.
I was just making comments.
There's cobwebs down there.
I was just...
Maybe there's the problem.
I think you're right.
I was... This was a segment about Jake's abs being sore because he had some
Janice,
fun.
Here's what we're going to do. All right. So L.A. is an option and Vancouver is
and
an
Vancouver.
Option. Okay, great. And what are we? What's our type? Give me some sort of... And wheezing at the same time. This is really going to be sexy. Yeah.
I like the outdoors. I like to hike.
Okay.
I love my little dogs.
She likes to pick berries on the side of the road.
I like to natural things.
Okay.
Why don't you go go up Runyon Canyon and see if you can't find somebody.
Runyon Canyon. That's about as wilderness. I'm talking wilderness. Runyon
that's L.A. wilderness.
Yeah, exactly.
Miller?
No, I'm just saying that. Mm.
Do we have an age range?
Well, yeah, let's give me an age range.
Well, how old am I? 52. How old am I this year?
52. So 40 to 55?
What would I do with a 40-year-old? I'm 52.
I can think of many.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I don't know. A 40-year-old's an adult.
What would I have in common with a 40-year-old?
I'm 40.
Well, yay. Yeah. And look how you rag on me all the time.
I rag on everybody.
Sitcoms, about my references.
I rag on everybody.
You don't even know who Lucy is. What kind of conversation?
Lucy from Desi and Lucy?
Yeah, you didn't know.
I know. No, of course I know who she is. I just wanted to make you feel old that day. Of course I know who Lucille Ball is. I'm not living in a friggin' cave, for God's sake. All right, so 40 to 55.
You know what? I would like to move on to a fitness segment.
No, I'm busy. 40 to 55?
No, 40 is too young.
45 to 55.
Okay.
Okay, good. And attributes like kind, loving, funny, smart, outgoing, or more quiet and calm?
All of them.
All that stuff. Okay. And brunettes, blondes, are we open?
Yeah, I don't care. As long as you have a fairly full set of teeth, I'm pretty happy.
Okay, so sending them to Janice.
This thing's gone too far now.
Janice, this is a hit. The Love Doctor. Just so you know, we got it. When I asked for questions on my Facebook, there were a lot for the Love Doctor.
I know.
And now I'm helping you. Why? Because I can. All right.
No, because she.
This
cares.
Has been another segment of the Love Doctor. The doctor is in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now we're going to switch back to America's Toughest Trainer. Coming up next.
Bob Woodruff, for those who don't know, was an ABC correspondent, an ABC News correspondent. He was in Iraq, and he was hit with a roadside bomb, and he suffered a very traumatic brain injury, and has come back.
God.
Has come back, you know what I mean? It took a long time, but and he's back, you know, doing not full-time, but anyway.
Okay.
His wife, his name is Lee Woodruff, and she wrote a very compelling article in More Magazine, and it's about...
Okay.
She's a writer in her own rights. Their father, she's got two sisters. So
okay.
There's three of them.
Got it.
So I'll just read you a little bit of it. She goes, for the past several years, the three of us, her three sisters, have joined forces in our most daunting task yet, navigating our parents' end-of-life issues.
Ugh, awful.
As witnesses to our father's advancing Alzheimer's and the weight of the burden of our mother's fragile health, we put our heads together in endless conversations. Anyway,
okay.
What they're witnessing what's happening with their father, right?
Okay.
So they say, like most families, ours has a lot of skeletons in the genetic closet. There's cancer, heart disease, depression.
Ugh.
But the most frightening by far is that my sisters and I are fourth generation standing in line to lose our minds, basically from Alzheimer's, dementia, senility. Whatever the exact diagnosis, the result is the same, a slow ebbing, the agonizing erasure of the human being.
Ugh.
Now, they're all healthy. They get checkups. They eat right. They work out. You know, they're very healthy. But they don't know what the future is going to be. And they've kind of made a choice, an interesting choice, to have a pact. They made in a sense, it's like a suicide pact.
Oh.
I'm not trying to condone suicide. I'm not trying to condemn. I don't know what I'm saying, but
they're going
to
kill each other?
They're saying that certainly we recognize that nothing's fail-proof. There's no guarantee that they'll even be able to carry it out. But they've gotten some tips on what they should do. And, you know,
to kill themselves?
Yeah.
I don't know how many tips you need. You can jump off a building. You can put a bullet in your brain.
No, but I know.
You can swallow a bottle of cyanide. Okay. I mean, we got some tips on how to end our lives.
But the pact, I mean, what she's saying is the pact of ours is daunting. How do we determine when? You know, like, how do you determine when is it time? Like, I know I've had several conversations with my sister because we, too, are watching our dad slowly die of Alzheimer's. And we kid to each other, like, okay, if one of us starts, you know, playing with the ball kind of funny. You know what I mean?
Right.
You tie yourself to the wheelchair. One pushes off and the other one goes with them. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh God,
we kind of kid. And then, you kind of kid about it. And then I talk to a woman I know and she goes, oh, I've started saving. I said, you can't start saving pills now. They're going to be no good by the time. But people are...
Oh, my God. This is morbid.
I know it is. And I know it's you're
well,
not right
you're
with...
having that whole Kevorkian argument. And like, should people be able to die, like, the way they choose? I can tell you that you can, at least in your will or your living trust or whatever it is. Whatever I put together, it's like, do not resuscitate.
Yes, you can have a living will.
Yeah, pull the plug, like, the whole thing. I was able to do and say that. There's that. I remember when my grandmother was very sick on my mom's side. She was in Britain when she was dying, and they pretty much put her in a coma with a pain medication. Mm-hmm. They just sped that right up and ended it because she was in so much pain.
So much pain.
This really depends on your outlook. I think it's providing people with comfort, because here's why I think something like that exists is because you look at a situation that makes you feel hopeless and helpless, which is a worse feeling, and you go, well, the way I'm going to have control over this is to say, I'm not going to let this happen to me. Otherwise, you're living in a constant fear of it. You're helpless to control it now with your parents. You're helpless to control whether or not you get it, and you'll be helpless when you have it. But to say, well, I'll just end my life. Well, now you're like, well, I won't. You don't control me. I control you.
Mm.
I mean, that would be my guess on it. I would rather look at it and say, look, we've got some time and medicine is advancing really quickly. Who knows what amazing things they're going to be able to do to fight these kinds of issues and diseases. And I guess you can have that sort of pact of like, okay, my quality of life. But in this country, in America, it's real tricky.
Well, not just legally.
Legally, it's tricky.
I mean, legally, of course. Jeez. But it's also, you know, you have to have a chat with God about that. You have to, you know what I mean? Like this, it's not just the legalities and who's going to, you know, go to jail for it. It's can you come to a peace with your God?
Because a lot of religions, a lot of religions say suicide is like you burn in hell or something.
Yeah, it's like, and suicide's such a, it's a.
Well, I don't believe in that kind of God. My God gave me this life and. My God, it's mine to do what I will with it. And my God doesn't, there is no hell in my world. I don't believe in that.
Mm.
I don't believe in such a thing as hell. Hell is what you create for yourself here, in my opinion. You are in hell right now if you don't live in your authentic truth. I'm not a big organized
book
that some guy wrote. I was listening to this guy Michio Kaku last night, who's this astrophysicist that I love. And he was talking about a scientist in like the 1600s, and he ventured to say, you know what, I think there could be other life out there. I think there could be other beings in the out there. Not only did the church, they stripped him naked, they hung him upside down, and then burned him alive. Because it was like, oh no, there could be other churches and other Jesus Christs and other popes and other cardinals. No, blasphemy.
Right.
I mean, so fear. I don't buy into like hell or this or that or any of that. None of, I don't, I think that's just, yeah, I don't, I'm not, my God is a loving, benevolent God. And I don't, so if you're in pain, I think we should have the right to choose what we do with our own lives. But that, again, that's your right. So if you think that in your world, your God is not okay with it, then that's your decision to make. But I do think that this is about having control over things that are uncontrollable.
Right. And I think what they're saying, too, is, you know, that's a very interesting paragraph is, when do we know it's time? You know what I mean? Like, I remember when my dad started going, like the science, it didn't just snap happen. It was very gradual.
Yeah.
And the thing is, at least my experience with people with Alzheimer's is they know something's happening. They still got those cognitive fibers that are still firing that go, oh God, I'm going.
Yeah.
And then you cross over. Then it's like this crossover and you just don't quite know. And if at the point where you still know and you know what the care is, I'm not saying that people who have dementia and Alzheimer's aren't cared for and loved, but man,
I've heard it's a horrible, cruel way to die.
And it's a long death.
I have not seen it, so I don't know. But the people I know, like Maria Shriver,
right, her
went
father.
Through and she yeah. just said it was awful. I think you can't know until you've seen it and you've lived it. But I have heard that it is nothing short of horrible.
So I think I'm not trying to say what they're doing is right or wrong, but you can see why they've made this. And I'm incredibly.
For those of you who are listening, do me a favor, go on my Facebook page and you'll see that I put up a little post about this show being out and up for download. Let us know what you think about this. What would you do? How do you feel about this? I think it's our right as human beings to make these decisions for ourselves. I do. But, you know,
if you're still capable, that's just the thing, though, because if you
make it when you are that's like you pull the plug. If I am, you know, you make it when you are coherent, though. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
You make it like if you can say, please pull the plug, then you should be able to say the same thing about something like this. I think it's you're right as a human being. But let us know what you think about this. I think it's
yeah, it's yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that I don't certainly want to die that way. I know that.
I hear you. I can't say because I don't know it. I right now I would be in a position of just saying let's be hopeful for the future that they come up with medications and treatments, courses of treatment that help prevent this down the road. But yeah, it's tough to say. I couldn't say right now, so I wouldn't feel safe making a decision on it. I do know don't resuscitate. That I know.
Yeah.
As my quality of life. Well, that was freaking cheery. Well, what's the takeaway on that? Got any takeaway on that?
Eat coconut oil every day because apparently they're doing amazing studies on Alzheimer's that if you have coconut oil, you know, you buy it like in the.
Yeah, no, I put it. Coconut oil is amazing. It actually also helps with tapir rash put on my son's butt every day.
Well,
it does. I'm serious. It fights fungal infections. So
really,
cradle cap and they get the baby gets jock itch. I swear to God. And I put it on his bummy to keep him from getting.
So not only
I swear
you want to find someone with jock itch and for your brain.
Oh God. Yeah. Woo. Okay.
Okay.
Alrighty, let's do something snappy.
Okay.
Right, we are back, and Sonia would like to have a little chat with you. Hey, Sonia, what's up?
Hi, Jillian. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. So my question for today, I've recently lost 40 pounds.
Congrats, bud. That's awesome.
Thank you. It's huge for me, and thank you because it's because of you. DVDs have got me through it, and not because of you.
Okay, there you go. Don't say
careful.
Yeah. You can say you use my DVDs, and then that's great, but it's not because of me.
I used your DVDs.
Okay.
One thing you did for me, though, was eliminate my excuses, so thank you for that.
Oh, well, good.
But
okay.
But
I'll take
it. I'm down
that.
To that last 10 pounds, and right. It's hard. It's really hard. It's clinging to my body for its dear life,
okay.
And I've had a lot of people advise me that maybe I should give up fruit that By giving up fruit, it may be what I need. And
why?
That kind of contradicts everything I've been taught because of sugar. They said
that's the dumbest thing in the world. No, sugar. Okay, first of all, the sugar in fruit, although it is higher on the glycemic index, you've got to understand it's not like drinking a soda. Your body has to essentially pull the sugar out of the fiber in the fruit. So the way that the fructose has to be extrapolated. That's sort of the wrong word. But,
sounds good,
but
though.
Pulled out of the fruit is not like drinking juice or having a candy bar or having a soda. Second of all, sugar doesn't make you fat. Calories make you fat. So they're wrong about that. And although the quality of a calorie does have something to do with it, if you're having like bleached white processed flour with no nutrients, well, sure, you're going to be damaging your metabolism. But fruit actually has all kinds of nutrients in it. And unless you're having all fruit all the time, I seriously doubt it's an issue. So how are you incorporating it into your diet?
Well, I don't have a lot because people have been scaring me to death about fruit, but I usually, in the mornings, will have blueberries, raspberries, strawberries with some Greek yogurt.
Oh, my God, that's actually great
for you. During the day.
No, people are dumb. Oh, my God, I hate when they give advice and they don't know what they're talking about. No. So next, all right, you're talking about the last 10 pounds. Why don't you, first of all, I've talked about this a lot on the show. The last 10 pounds is very, very different than losing 40 pounds. Because your body
needs to get more complicated.
Well, here's why. If I was to take you to the doctor right now and check your blood sugar and your blood pressure and your cholesterol, I bet you'd be fit as a fiddle. I bet you'd be healthy. What do you think?
Yeah. I feel healthy.
Okay. And you can exercise, you're fit.
Yeah.
You're strong. Okay. Your body is healthy right now. It wants to hold 10 pounds of weight. That is a healthy state for us because we've evolved over thousands of years to want that little bit of fat reserve, especially we as women. Don't forget, your body's always thinking, at any given minute, I can have a baby. So this is not an unhealthy fat. This is fat that it's like, God forbid we go into a famine. I've got a little bit of reserve. If I get pregnant, I've got enough healthy fat on my body to be able to support me, support my baby. So and this is an evolutionary thing. That's why the last 10 pounds is very tricky. And I wrote a whole friggin' book about it, which I'm actually going to send you called Making the Cut. Janice, will you make a note of that to have Brittany send her that?
Yep.
But let's look at something. How many calories a day are you eating?
I usually eat around 1,300, 1,400.
Okay. And how often are you working out?
4 days a week, sometimes five, but usually four on average.
Got it. And how long?
30 minutes.
And you're working out with my video, so you're probably working out intensely, huh?
Yes.
Got it.
Very much sweating happening.
Very much sweating. Okay. So we're and forgive me, how old are you?
I'm 40.
Okay, you're 40 years old. So let's imagine that on the days you're working out, you're probably burning about 2,000 calories. On the days you're not, you probably still output you to around 17. You might even be getting a little more in there. Here's what I'm going to recommend. Don't go over 500 calorie deficit a day. So what I want you to do is take your calories by 10% and up them every week. So it's going to take you about 2 weeks. I want you to get your calories to 1,600. It's going to take you a little longer, but I want you to do it. Get your calories to about 1,600. Make sure that you continue to train intensely. Make sure that you get a lot of variety in your routine. So don't do like the same DVD. Make sure you're mixing up the workouts. Okay. And then I want you to, if you can, how much are you drinking?
I have a goal right now to drink a gallon of water a day, and I usually hit it.
Forgive me. I mean alcohol.
Oh, alcohol, none, zero.
Excellent. All right. So if you can, keep the booze out of there. And I also want you, just for now, take 2 days off training and eat 2,000 calories on the second day. Then go back into your workout, bring your calories up by 10% till you hit 1,600, and make sure there's variety in your routine. And that way, what we're doing is by decreasing that burn a little bit and by giving yourself a high-calorie day, every Sunday I want you to eat 2,000 calories. I want you to get those calories up to 1,600. And I want you to continue on that exercise regimen of like 4 to 5 times a week for a half hour as hard as you can after 2 rest days. And I promise you, that 10 pounds will start to go down. But you have to do it in a way with your body where it's very gradual. So it's like, okay, you know, I'm not starving, I'm healthy, I'm okay, I'm not starving. And that's what the high calorie day does. And by bringing it up to 16, we decrease that deficit a little bit and bring you down to around 400, 500 a day. So even though it might take a couple months, you'll get it off and you'll keep it off. The fruit thing's just stupid. Don't listen to, people drive me nuts.
Oh, I've heard it a lot and just read a lot, and it just goes just raises this red flag.
No.
And one more question. Yeah. On my day when I eat 2,000 calories, mm-hmm. is that a free day or stick to healthy whole foods?
Okay, here's how I think of free day. Okay. I don't like free days. What I will say is 20% of the time on any given day, eat whatever you want.
Okay.
I try to make it chemical free, though. You know what I like? Try to choose Pop chips, not Pringles. Try to choose Unreal candy bars, not Hershey. Try to choose the ice cream without RBST and high fructose corn syrup and trans fat for the more natural version of the ice cream. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I'm okay with the treats. I'm okay with the sugar. I'm okay with the fat. 20% of the time, you work it into your calorie allowance. That's how you do it. And then, like, just the chemicals, that's what I want you to avoid as often as you can.
Okay.
All right, bud?
That's easy.
Good. See? Easy. Exactly.
And I've got time. I mean, a few months is going to pass anyway. So thank you. That is a huge help. I would have never thought to do that. So.
And I'll send you that book.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, buddy. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
All right, as promised, another call, and Stephanie is waiting to chat with you.
Hey, Stephanie, what's up?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Okay, so I'm a student at Northern, as you probably already know.
Uh-huh.
And sitting in class, I was halfway in and out of paying attention, and one of my teachers had said that he knows the way to burn fat was through high-intensity exercise.
Uh-huh.
And this is a class that really has nothing to do with exercise phys. So, in which I took a class last semester where my other teacher said low-intensity exercises for a long period of time burn fat.
No, your other teacher's right.
Which one?
Okay.
The high-intensity?
So here's the logic, right? Here's where this gets a little confusing. So when you're working at a lower intensity and you're doing cardio, okay, let's say you're on the treadmill for an hour and you're walking at a 3 and your incline's at a 2. And you burn, hold on, let me just give you a number here. Let's say 5 calories a minute for an hour, 5 times 6. You burn 300 calories, okay? And let's say that 200 of those calories, two-thirds of those calories are going to be from fat, and one-third is going to be from glucose or glycogen, right? Sugar, sugar calories for the most part. So you're 200 to 100. You've burned more fat calories. Yay! Your percentage is two-thirds to one-third. Now, 66%, right? I'm spitballing. Now, you're on that same treadmill for an hour, and you're doing high-intensity training. So you're running intervals, and you're 30 seconds on sprinting, 30 seconds off, or you're incline walking. You're really pushing it. Now you're burning 10 calories a minute. So you've just gone from a 300-calorie burn in that hour to a 600-calorie burn in that hour.
Okay.
All right. Your percentage of fat that you've burned is less, because when you're working at a higher intensity, your body needs more sugar. So now, instead of two-thirds of those calories that are being burned coming from fat, let's say it's one-third. Okay? So it's one-third is coming from fat and two-thirds are coming from sugar. So one-third of 600 means you're going to burn 200 fat calories and 400 sugar calories. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, if we go back to your equation when we did... we did the 300 burn and and two-thirds was from fat. You still burn 200 fat calories working out at a greater intensity, same as you burned working at a lower intensity because you burned a greater number of calories. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay, but you have 300 additional calories that you burned. And here's what you're not knowing. Two things. Number one, those 300 calories, if they don't get burned, get stored as fat. So glucose and glycogen that isn't utilized gets stored and converted into fat. And number two, you're going to have a greater afterburn effect, which means your metabolism is going to be elevated for a longer period of time from the intensity training. So your metabolism is going to be raised longer after the workout is over from the high intensity versus the low intensity. So it's kind of a misconception. Even though you burn a greater number, a greater percentage of fat calories in the total calories burned, when you work at a higher intensity, you burn more calories overall and subsequently either equal amount of fat calories or sometimes greater fat calories and burn calories longer for a longer period of time. Plus, you increase your fitness performance because you're working at a higher intensity. Higher intensity is the way to go.
Okay. Yeah, because my one teacher was telling us that high intensity is only good for people who are used to working out at high intensity.
No, because what's high intensity for you is going to be low intensity for somebody else. So, so for you, high intensity might, again, I don't know you, so please forgive me if I'm selling you short here, but let's say you were at an incline 7 and a speed 2.5, and that's high. High intensity is where your heart rate is, honey. So whatever is going to get your heart rate to 85% and up of your maximum heart rate. So your maximum heart rate is 220 minus your age. Mm-hmm. So mine is 220 minus 38, which is 182. That's my maximum heart rate. I want to work at 85% of that number, 85% in like that high intensity range to 90%. So what's going to get my heart rate there might be running at 10 miles an hour. What's going to get your heart rate there might be running at 6 miles an hour. So do you understand what I'm saying? That high intensity is relative based on your fitness level.
Right.
It's totally subjective. So your low intensity person doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. do you understand? There's the high intensity for everybody is subjective.
Okay.
Okay, well, pal? My pleasure. Another easy one.
Thanks, Steph.
Another problem solved.
Now, you know what I find very interesting? In a previous show, you mentioned, I teased you about doing, I think you were going to perform surgery on me or something, and you said that science-wise, that you weren't as adept. That was science, what you just told Stephanie? That's science?
No. I'm a professional in my field. Yeah, I've got 22 years of experience in this field. I have 4 certifications. I do continuing education for, AFA with 5 different CEC programs. I've worked with the best doctors. I owned a sports medicine facility. Yes, in my field, I can talk to you about the science of weight loss and fitness and diet. I'm a certified nutritionist. I can talk about that all day long. Areas that I don't go outside of when it comes to science, areas I don't know. Like money is a science. I don't understand it.
Oh,
I don't understand investing
saying.
It. I don't understand the market. I don't understand real estate, I don't understand any of it. You actually have to know the science of the economy and people get degrees. I don't understand. Medicine is a science. You need to go to medical school. You can't just give medical advice. I mean, like,
but
get your checkup
very...
and don't eat poison. I mean, sure. But, like, when it comes to things that have to do with living a better life, that's much more just general sort of wellness life coaching skills. And that, then I feel like that's where we kind of go outside the box and say,
gotcha.
Look, one person to another, let's have a talk.
All right, we need to call it a day today.
Mm.
Why? Because it's time to go.
Why?
Oh, look at you. Look at you, who has to rest out of here, and all of a sudden you've got an extra minute of time, and you're going to use it up by abusing me.
I'm not abusing you. I'm just simply asking you why. How is that abuse? I think you're projecting your historical issues onto me. I simply am asking you why we have to part, which is really, if anything, a gesture of affection, but I would hate to leave you.
Whatever she just said, we'll see you next week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.